Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, Paul is continuing his admonishment of the Galatians. So let's read these verses. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Have you experienced so much in vain if it really was in vain? So again I ask, does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by your believing what you heard? Now, before we get to the main point, or more accurately, the main person in these five verses, we need to understand Paul's use of the word foolish in verses 1 and verse 3. It seems like a harsh rebuke given our use of the word foolish, right? We think of the word foolish and we think, wow, Paul's really mad at these people. You know, he's just like, he's calling them fools. But in biblical terms, a fool is a person who refuses to listen to the word of God. A fool is a person who refuses to receive the counsel and the wisdom of God or learn from correction and discipline. By rejecting God and His truth, a fool repeats their folly. And as Proverbs chapter 26, verse 11 puts it, a fool who repeats their folly is like a dog returning to its vomit. Very graphic terms. But that's the way that the Bible is describing foolishness. Psalm 14, verse 1 states that a fool is one who says in his heart, there is no God. So Paul is strident when confronting the Galatian believers. Don't foolishly reject the gospel message. That's the statement that he's making. That's what he wants to get across to them. Don't be foolish. He's not swearing at them. He's not calling them. He's not trying to demean them. He's saying, look, don't be foolish. Don't reject the things of God, the wisdom of God, the counsel of God, and think that you can accomplish something in your strength by your works, by keeping the law, or by doing all of these other things. That's not going to be helping you. And so that's how he starts out. Who has bewitched you, he says? Who has deceived you? And now that Paul has established that we are justified by faith, in the first two chapters we've gone through this, he says, look, we are justified by faith, not the law or our good works. Now, in these five verses, even as he's building on this theme of faith and so on, he's focusing on our receiving the Holy Spirit by faith. And that leads us to consider the following essential questions. Who is the Holy Spirit? Why do we need the Holy Spirit? How do we receive the Holy Spirit? And what happens when we receive the Holy Spirit? So the first question is, who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God. The Lord God Almighty, one God, in three persons, is manifested to us, His human creation, as God the Father, God the Son, the one who bears the image and nature of the Father in human form so that He could most readily relate to His creation, and God the Holy Spirit, the invisible, personal presence of God that animates, that gives life to us and sustains us. So God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. When the Lord says that He will be with us and never forsake us, it is through the person of the Holy Spirit that the Lord indwells in us and that we experience His presence. So we're not experiencing the presence of the Lord in all of His glory, in all of His reign and His sovereignty as it would be when there are descriptions of the Lord in heaven. We are experiencing the indwelling presence of the Lord in the person of the Holy Spirit. And so we say it is the Holy Spirit that is in us. When Jesus said, "It is good for you that I'm going away because I will ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit," you know, that's what he's referring to. But you will notice that Jesus says to his disciples, "I will be with you." He doesn't say somebody else. He says, "I will be with you." How? In the person of the Holy Spirit. It is through the person of the Holy Spirit that the Lord reveals himself to us. It is through the person of the Holy Spirit that we are comforted and receive the peace of God to guard our hearts and our minds. It is through the person of the Holy Spirit that we are reminded of what Jesus said. We are guided into all truth. We are convicted of sin. We are able to comprehend the will of God. And we are empowered to live in the righteousness of God. We are made right before God. We have right standing before God. But then we are kept in that. We are preserved in our salvation by the presence of the Holy God, of the Holy Spirit. So even as we attribute all the characteristics of God, God is loving, God is merciful, God is faithful, God is compassionate, God is just, God is holy, even as we attribute all of those characteristics of God to the Holy Spirit, He is fully God, even as we recognize that, we often describe the Holy Spirit by what He does. So which is why when we try to answer the question, who is the Holy Spirit, we very closely connected to that, we start talking about what does the Holy Spirit do. So we tend to speak about the Holy Spirit and describe the Holy Spirit in terms of what the Holy Spirit does. Or the second question that we're asking, why do we need the Holy Spirit? I mean, the Holy Spirit is, we're describing the Holy Spirit as doing these things in us, but why do we need the Holy Spirit? Well, Romans chapter 8, verses 10 to 11 tells us that we receive life from God through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. So this idea that the Holy Spirit is in us is not just that's nice, right? But we wouldn't be able to live our lives if it weren't for the Holy Spirit indwelling us. The Holy Spirit is the one that gives life, that gives that living water by which we do not thirst, because of which we do not thirst. John 14, 16 to 17 tells us that the Holy Spirit is our teacher and our helper. So when we are not clear what to do, when we need the counsel and guidance, the Holy Spirit is the one who is giving that kind of instruction and that kind of help in the way. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 to 11 tells us that the Holy Spirit reveals the deep things of God to us. So that when we seek God, when we want to know Him more and more, when we say, "Lord God, I want to know the character of Your love and the depth of Your love. I want to grasp that. What do I do?" It is the Holy Spirit that reveals these truths to us. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is taking the Word of God, it's taking the truths of God, it's taking the very character of God and making it real to us, right? Making it alive, come alive to us. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 tells us that the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. And when we don't even know how to or what to pray for, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us from within. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 7, and then verse 11 tells us that the Holy Spirit gives us spiritual gifts and equips and empowers us for ministry. Galatians chapter 5, we'll get to this in some time, but Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23 tells us that the Holy Spirit produces spiritual fruit, godly characteristics. He produces that fruit in us. Romans chapter 8, verses 15 through 16 tells us that it is through the Holy Spirit that we become the children of God. And quite importantly, the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And it is that glorious reality of becoming the children of God that is really the crowning reason of why we need the Holy Spirit. You know, in all these ways that the Holy Spirit can help us while we live on this earth, wonderful. We thank the Lord for that. We receive it. And I'll get to that in just a minute in terms of how we have to respond to the work of the Holy Spirit. But in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 to 14, it says this, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him," Christ, "you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, a down payment, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession," those who belong to God, those who are the children of God, "guaranteeing the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory." Think about that. The Lord doesn't just save us, but He allows the Holy Spirit, or He causes the Holy Spirit to be the seal, the guarantee, the down payment on our salvation, on the fulfillment, the completion of our salvation. So when God looks at us, He doesn't see our sin. He doesn't see our shortcomings. He doesn't see our past. He doesn't see all of those things that would keep us from Him. Rather, He sees the seal of the Holy Spirit. And He says, "Oh, this one is mine. This one belongs to me." And this seal, this mark, this stamp, this ownership, you know, logo on us says we are going to be with Him in heaven. That's the guarantee that He's giving. So we have this assurance, we have this confidence, we have this joy of saying, "Oh Lord, thank you for the Holy Spirit," because the Holy Spirit is now the seal, this deposit. So you see, when the Holy Spirit is in us and God is seeing the seal, not our sins, He's not seeing our depraved and hopeless condition, that allows us to be so wonderfully, joyfully anticipating the completion of salvation. You see, then it's not about, "Oh, I'm grateful that the Lord saved me, but I don't know if I can stay saved. I don't know if I will continue to walk in His ways. I don't know if I'll fall away. Oh, what if I backslide?" No, that's not the question. That's not the statement. Rather, the reality and the where our eyes need to be fixed on is to say, the Lord has given me His Holy Spirit. The Lord has given me of Himself. He is the one who is guaranteeing my salvation. Therefore, all I do is rest in Him. Therefore, all I do is be assured in Him of what He has already done. So clearly, we need the Holy Spirit. We can't come up with all this stuff on our own. We can't, you know, put the seal of guarantee our inheritance with the Lord and our eternity with Him by ourselves. We can't do it. We can't go to anybody else in this world to do it. We can't come up with any kind of resource to pay for this. There's nothing we can do that would earn our salvation. So clearly, we need the Holy Spirit. So the question then becomes, how do we receive the Holy Spirit? And as we just read in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 to 14, we receive the Holy Spirit when we believe in Jesus Christ, when we receive the gospel message and we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. In fact, Romans chapter 8, verse 9 states that if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. So clearly, when we belong to Christ, when we say we are a child of God, it is because the Holy Spirit has come. We have received the Holy Spirit. That's what even Paul is reminding the Galatians. Didn't you receive the Holy Spirit? Not by your works, but by faith. You have received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come into you. The Holy Spirit is indwelling you. The Holy Spirit is the one sealing you. The Holy Spirit is the one speaking to you. The Holy Spirit is the one guiding you. You have received the Holy Spirit. Wonderful. But in addition to the indwelling of the Spirit that takes place when we accept Jesus Christ, the Bible also describes the ongoing filling of the Spirit. And we use that term, the filling of the Spirit. The Bible also uses the term baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaks of the of us being immersed. Baptism, as we've encountered this before, is all about being immersed. It's not simply dabbling in or, you know, some light touch somewhere. It is to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. And the Bible speaks of this experience that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit, that we would be baptized in the Holy Spirit, that we would experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And so Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 directs us not to get drunk or filled with wine or alcohol, which leads to debauchery, but instead to be filled as a present continuous term with the Holy Spirit. Which means that on a daily basis, having received the Holy Spirit in the point of salvation or in that accepting of the Lord Jesus, we need to be praying that we will continuously be filled with the Holy Spirit for the rest of our days. We don't just say, oh yeah, I accepted the Lord Jesus when I was 10. I accepted the Lord Jesus when I was 40, whatever. I'm good. The Lord knows I'm His. I belong to Him. That's it. No. Every single day after that, we need to be praying. We need to be seeking the Lord. We need to be coming to Him to say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Fill me to overflowing. Fill me in such a way that I'm immersed in the Holy Spirit. Now, remember, the Holy Spirit is God. He is one with the Father and the Son and indivisible. So when we say we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we're not saying we got part A, we want part B, and part C, and part D. It is one Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came into us in His fullness. So what do we mean when we say we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? We're really saying we need to be yielding more and more and more of our life to the Holy Spirit, that He would be indeed the Lord of our life in all those areas. When we come to the Lord in our sin and in our desperation or in our recognition of His provision, we say, Lord God, I thank You that You saved me from my sins. I thank You that You paid the penalty for my sins. But very seldom do we really submit and or even understand how the Lord has to be the Lord of all the areas of our life. So we hold on to a little pride, a little gluttony, a little lying, a little whatever else, a little, you know, we hold on to those things because that's what we're used to. That's what we were doing all our lives. And by the way, when I say all our lives, you could be 2 years old and know how to sin, right? You don't have to be instructed on, you know, all the nuances of sin and the complexities and the range of sin. You know, so you can say, well, I've been saved of, you know, 50% of my sin, but the other, no. By age two itself, there's plenty in you that, you know, maybe even earlier than age two. So we don't have to be taught to sin. So when we come to the Lord and we recognize that He's saving us and that He's healing us and He's cleansing us and that our sins are forgiven, we do yield to Him in certain ways, but we don't yield all of us, all of ourselves to Him in that way, at that time. And so the point of being filled with the Spirit is that we're opening the doors to more and more and more areas of our lives. We say, Lord, I've held on to this thing. Come and fill this place. In this room in my heart has been all this wickedness, stubbornness, pride, self-righteousness, hatred, anger, whatever it may be. I open this door, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill this place. And here in this, there's all this lack of identity and, you know, this shame and this all these things that I have struggled with all my life. I'm opening the door, Lord. Come and fill this place. And here, Lord, is this way in which I have relied on my own strength, my own capabilities. I've thought of myself as being more than I really am. I've said to myself, oh, I can do this. Look at me. Oh, Lord, here, I'm opening this door. You come and take this. You come and fill this place. And when we are asking the Lord to do that, when we come to the Lord in that way, it's not that we have emptied everything in all those rooms, and we have now said, I'm clean, I'm good, I'm holy, God, come and fill me. We're saying, Lord, you come and do the cleansing yourself so that you displace what is in me. I can't cleanse myself. Because if we did that, if we thought that was the way that this worked, we would wait till we become good. We'll say, well, I'm not good enough for the Holy Spirit to fill me. Let me try to become good by keeping the law. Let me try to become good by keeping my commitments. Let me try to become good by doing all the right things. And then the Holy Spirit can fill me. No, that's not what the Bible is saying. He's saying you just bring yourself to the Lord and you yield and you yield and you yield and you submit and you yield and you say, Lord God, you take me. You cleanse me. You fill me. And by the way, this goes on for all your life. You will find that you are late in your life and you're still having to ask the Holy Spirit to fill some area of your heart. It doesn't just go away. It's not like you can get to a point where you say, I'm good, 100%. I am completely filled with the Holy Spirit. There is no place for the devil in me. Now, Jesus said that, by the way, but you can't quite say that, right? So we have to notice, we have to realize that this is a lifelong commitment. Not just, I'm saved, I'm good. But rather to say, Lord God, every single day, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to allow the Holy Spirit to fill all the areas of my life, yielding all of myself, not just my heart, but all the areas of my life in every single way. And so as we are increasingly filled with the Holy Spirit, as we yield our will, our emotions, our memories, our ambitions, our bodies, our abilities, our accomplishments, our tendencies, our brokenness. When we yield everything to God in submission and obedience to His Word, oh, we start to experience what the Bible says when it says, be filled with the Spirit. We're asking the Holy Spirit to fill it all. And by the way, it's as direct as that. We simply ask and yield. We don't have to follow a rule. We don't have to execute a specific method. We don't go to a specific place. We don't need a specific person to pray for you. You just simply do what Jesus said to do. You take Jesus at His word when He said in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? That's straightforward. We would simply say, Lord God, come and fill my heart. Come and take control. I yield this to you. I submit to you. I want you to fill this area. We ask. Which brings us to the next question. What happens when we receive the Holy Spirit? When the Holy Spirit starts to fill us? When the Holy Spirit is having His way in us? When we're yielding to the Holy Spirit, what happens? Well, when we get to Galatians 5, we will see that when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we walk by the Spirit. We are led by the Spirit. We live by the Spirit. We keep in step with the Spirit. We bear the fruit of the Spirit. You know, all of that. But this morning I want to focus on verse 3 in the passage that we read, Galatians chapter 3, verse 3. It says, after beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? What's the message? We think that once God gets us on the right path, then we can do it. I got it from here, God. I got it. You've shown me the way. You got me started. You cleansed all my sin. You removed all those entangling, you know, the weights that were easily entangling me and holding me back. Now I can run. Okay, I got it. I got it. I'll run from now on. And I will do this. I will run for the rest of my days. I will be a faithful Christian. I will show everybody what a good child of God I am. And we say, yep. We are going not in the Spirit anymore, but in the strength of our flesh. in the strength of our will, resolve, commitment, whatever, we say we can do it. And guess what? You will find out very quickly that you will either get ahead, you will fall behind, or you will go to the right, or you will go to the left. You will stumble, you will fall, you will not be staying in step with the Spirit. To stay in step with the Spirit, you have to be filled with the Spirit, and you have to be dependent on the Spirit, and you have to be obedient to the Spirit, so that when the Spirit says, I am taking this step, you would say, oh, I'm taking that step too. And when the Spirit says, I'm taking this step, you would say, I'm taking that step too. Not, I'm taking two more steps. Not, no, I'm not ready to take that step. No, wait a minute, I think I should go this way. But rather you say, I stay in step with the Spirit in terms of how He directs me. The means or the acts of the flesh is anything that we intend or attempt by our thinking, our human actions, including our traditions, our rituals, and our keeping of the law. We say, look, I got it. I understand that the straight and narrow way before me, okay, I got it. I know how to do it. And I'll keep these disciplines. I'll be disciplined. I'll do these particular things. I'll pray 5 times a day. I will go to the church, you know, every Sunday. I will do these things. And by doing those things, I'll keep it. I'll maintain my salvation. And the Bible says, by the means of the flesh, you're not going to finish in the flesh what was started in the Spirit. You've got to keep yielding. Trying to finish in the flesh means that we are self-centered, self-sufficient. We think we can do it. Self-reliant and self-righteous. So what's our point of application? We need to respond and apply the Word of God that we have heard by receiving the Holy Spirit by faith. You see, the Bible is very clear that the Holy Spirit is such a wonderful, wonderful opportunity, the treasure of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. This is so wonderfully promised for us, the promised Holy Spirit, not the hidden, not the sometimes available, not the partially available, nothing. The promised Holy Spirit available for us. So we, as the children of God, need to avail ourselves of all that the Lord has promised us and already provided. He's not saying, okay, you be patient and keep doing this and everything else, and maybe 10 years from now I'll give you the Holy Spirit. He says, I have given you the Holy Spirit. I have poured out my Spirit on all flesh. So therefore, our response has to be, Lord, I want to avail myself. I want to appropriate. I want to receive. I want to take all that you have given and live in the fullness of life that you have ordained for me. We want to desire, we want to eagerly desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me be clear about this. This is not about being Pentecostal or charismatic or in the third way, affixing any other label. This is not about this, look at me, I'm part of this movement, or, you know, I'm doing. No, this is simply obeying the Word of God and saying, Lord God, by your Word, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and I want to receive all that you have intended for me. I want to manifest the Holy Spirit. I want to stay in step with the Spirit. I want the gifts of the Spirit to be operating through me. I want the fruit of the Spirit to be born in my life. I want people to benefit from my life as you would lead me, so that they may also be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want all of it, Lord. That's not being covetous or greedy or anything. That's responding to what the Lord says we should do. He says, this is what I'm giving you. Take it. Receive it. Be filled with the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 14, we just read 1 through 5 this morning. 1 through 14, we're really learning that we can be blessed through faith, that we can receive the blessings of God through faith. And we're going to get into the section next where we talk about Abraham and what it meant for Abraham to receive the blessings of God by faith and why and how that speaks to us. But how do we receive the blessings that are referenced here in these first five verses? It is through the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I pray, I want to encourage you that you don't lose sight of that. It's not just knowing the word. It's not just having the relationship with Jesus. It's not just waiting for the sweet by and by. It's not just, you know, fellowshipping with the saints. It's saying, oh, Lord God, every single day, I want to know the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. I want to be filled to overflowing. I want to be baptized in your Holy Spirit. I want to receive all that you have intended for me so that I may live as you have purposed. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you, we worship you, Lord, that you are a good God and that you give us all of these things richly to enjoy. Most importantly, you give us of yourself. You said you are our greatest reward. And Father, the person of the Holy Spirit is your greatest gift to us. That your Lord, you said it is good for you that I'm going so that I can send you the Holy Spirit, so that I can pour out my Holy Spirit, so that you will receive the fire and the blessings and the anointing and all that the Holy Spirit entails. Oh, we thank you for that. Come, Lord Jesus, fill us. Fill us to overflowing. Fill us so that there is no space for all of the flesh and the world and the devil. Fill us so that, Lord, just like Jesus, we can say the devil comes, but he has nothing in me. Oh, the only thing he can find in me is the Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, do it. Let us be yielded to you, opening every door of every room in our lives, of every room in our hearts, and saying, come, Lord Jesus, fill this place. Fill this with your Holy Spirit. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.